Live from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the Downstairs Pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned Downstairs Pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kemp. And bellied up to the bar tonight, he is truly the man in black. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Benders.
The man in black.
Freddie, that's a very subdued outfit
very
for you
much,
tonight.
Very much.
You're a trailblazer.
The black pants.
I got a little trailblazer's hat on.
The black sweatshirt. The black Portland hat. The black shoes.
But the Snoop slip-ons.
How are they slip-ons when they got laces?
Well, they're the California.
California don't know how to tie their shoes?
No, they're, what's the brand that you slip
Vans?
On?
Vans?
No, you slip them on.
Skechers?
Skechers,
Crocs?
Dude. Skechers? You ain't got no Skechers slip-ons?
I don't.
Yet?
I love Joe Montana, but I'm not going to. I feel like you buy Skechers when you hit
you,
like
Joe Montana's
55.
Yesterday's new. Snoop Dogg is the new Skechers guy.
That's called, like, we're just trying to save the brand. Bringing Snoop.
No, they're blowing up, dude. Skechers are blowing up.
I don't know, man. I think about, like, because it was always old people doing Skechers commercials.
I'm going to let you put your foot in there and feel that heel that you just slide in on.
I ain't going to get my foot in there.
It's nice. I like the back, too. Parents advisory lyrics on the back there.
Is that the doghouse?
Yeah.
Okay, they are.
Oh, yeah.
That's from his first solo album.
Yeah, it's the Doggy Dog. Doggy Dog Edition.
You know, that was the second concert I've ever seen in my life. I was in eighth grade, and I went to the Chronic tour at Freedom Hall. I seen things there that I didn't know existed. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Speaking of Snoop, he's been all over the Olympics.
He's everywhere.
This year, we had, since the last time we spoke, and even today in particular, we had some very exciting things happen in the Olympic Games that we will get to here in just a little bit. I want to remind everybody we are on social media. Keep the messages coming. I do see them. I do very rarely respond, but I do see them, so keep sending those along. Colin, I assume, I don't know because I'm never on TikTok, has been posting your daily parlays
posting
or whatever.
Posting and hexing.
Yeah, hopefully nobody's seen it.
Yeah, I was extremely hot
Freddie was
until
on
I
this
started
hot streak,
posting.
And then, of course, he starts posting them and
lost 2 weeks, 2 days in a row.
Well, I'm going to explain to you exactly what happened.
Oh.
You got cocky and you pissed You pissed off the gambling gods.
I did. Until tonight.
Hopefully you've been humbled enough and you know if you start winning now, you don't talk shit to the gambling gods. You got to appreciate everything that they give you.
Oh, man.
Because they will take it away.
Yes, gosh. But that's all right. A lot of upsets the last 2 days.
So if you have TikTok and you see those picks, you can use them accordingly based on Freddie's hot streak or relative lack of hot streak.
If you've seen them, you're not happy.
If you enjoy the show, please let your friends know that they can find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts. Quickly, want to get into just right off the top. We are reaching the end of the Olympic Games over in Italy. The hockey tournament is on to the medal rounds. Now the women's gold medal hockey game was today, but I wanted to start out, we'll get to that in a minute. Tuna and I, our text thread yesterday, were talking about those were the quarterfinals that were yesterday.
Yeah.
And three of the four games went to overtime, 3-on-3, wide open hockey. Totally awesome. Tuna, I wanted to get your thoughts on just an amazing day on the Olympic ice yesterday.
Well, yeah, I tuned into Canada because I was like, well, I'm going to watch it, but they're probably going to blow Czechia away. But I still want to kind of watch it and see what's going on. And I'll be damned. Czechia just kind of hung around and hung around and hung around. And you could see Canada kind of tightening up. And they, I don't know, Canada just, I guess, losing Sidney Crosby, him leaving the game. And it was, they just looked different. And, you know, Connor McDavid, he's good, but he's just really fast. You know what I mean? Like, you get physical with him, and I guess because there's really no fighting in the
– Right.
So you don't really have to worry much about retaliation. I'm not saying they were playing dirty or out headhunting, but, yeah, they tightened up a little bit. But they were able to hold on, went to overtime. Jordan Binnington was incredible down the stretch because he was catching wide-open shots at him. And what is it? They Czechia was up 2-1 with like what 5 minutes left.
Yes.
And then they scored again and went up 3-1, and then Canada scored two straight. Is that how that went?
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know what to say. I mean, it was great to see, but I'm glad Canada got through it.
Like we were talking about outside. Before we came down here to record, I love, and I was seeing some hockey purists on social media today, of which clearly I am not one. But I was seeing some people complaining that they do 3-on-3 overtimes. Personally, I find the 3-on-3 overtimes to be thrilling, exciting, there's probably going to be a goal relatively quickly, which is, I think, is what they're going for. But it's just, if the last 4 minutes, there's like 8 legit chances for a team to win. And when it is the Olympics and win and go home, it's like, to me, the highest drama that you can possibly have.
Think about the goalie when it gets to 3-on-3, how scrambled his head has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, because it really is. It's chaotic. I don't know what hockey purists – I mean, I guess they've been complaining about the NHL for a while because they do it in that league. So,
which I didn't even know that until you told me.
And you get earlier. A half a point if you lose in overtime. It doesn't count against you as a loss. I mean, half of a loss, I guess.
Right.
But an overtime loss is still half a point toward your standings. But, I was really glad to see Canada move forward. I really wanted this matchup. But then right after the Canada game, you switched over to Switzerland and Finland, who were in a heated battle. Switzerland pretty much owned that game throughout. And then right with like 5 minutes left, I guess Sebastian Aho scored the first goal for Finland, and then the other one came right after.
To the point that I actually had to leave. I was watching that game, and I left with 5.5 minutes probably to go. It was a 2-0 game. It seemed relatively safe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that they had come back.
Yeah.
Finland had come back to win until I was watching the United States game, and they were talking about it.
Yeah, which is crazy. Anybody knows me knows that, you know, I'm a Preds fan, and seeing Drew Saros out there, you know, playing as well as he's ever played at the goalie position, like, because he was incredible, especially down the stretch, because they were hammering him home.
You know, he had to go get one ocean away from Nick Saban, and all the pressure was lifted off his shoulders.
Well, we'll talk about the other Pred, Philip Forsberg, when we get to the U.S. game, because
right.
That one was a tell of a different tape.
Right.
But, Saros was – I mean, he was great in that game. And, so Finland came back. That game went to overtime. And I think this was the I think I heard this is the first time since NHL players were able to play, or we've only had one overtime in Olympic hockey since the NHL players got to play.
Hmm.
And then they had 3 in one day.
Wow.
Hmm.
So
That's nuts.
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure maybe it's just in the quarterfinal round or something like that, because I'm pretty sure didn't Slovakia – they had a draw in this game or, in the pool play.
Yeah.
I think so. So,
but then the American game was kind of the opposite of the others in that I thought the United States, although, you know, they had their opportunities to stretch the lead out a little bit, but, and I guess in hockey, when it's a one goal differential late in a game, anything can happen. But I thought that goal was a little more unexpected, that they gave up that goal.
Yeah.
But then for them to bounce back the way they did in the overtime, and that goalie, Hellebuyck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Connor Hellebuyck. Yeah.
Man, there was a few that I thought that might be it. And he really, in the overtime, I mean, he played great the whole game, but in the overtime, he was fantastic.
Yeah, we talked about the goalie situation a little bit last week, where I was kind of surprised that Jake Oettinger hasn't been playing.
Mm-hmm.
And Hellebuyck, you know, he's been great. Not, you know, good for him for starting and all that. But the game that we played back-to-back, when we had Germany right there, and
right.
they sat him and put in Slayman. And it was like, and Slayman, you know, he gave up two goals pretty quick.
Right.
And you're like, all right, I don't know about this. I don't know what Oettinger did to kind of get on the short. Maybe he's just been getting outplayed in practice. I mean, that could easily happen.
Sure.
So, was it Quinn Hughes, man, getting that goal right there to ice it out. That was nice. But to get to Philip Forsberg, he had like three wide open shots, like as clear as day right there in that final stretch, and he passed all of them.
Yeah.
But yet he was taking the most challenging shots on goal that you could take. So I don't know what was going through his head. Saban must have gotten his head a little bit. And so he was a little tight. But, no, I want to thank him. So we can thank a Nashville Predator for the U.S.
Right.
You know, advancing.
Yes.
Right. And it sets up tomorrow's semifinal games, Canada and Finland, and the United States and Slovakia.
Yeah.
I think the games are like 10:30 and 3:10,
yeah,
something like that. The United States plays at 3:00, so this podcast will probably be out right before that. But man, I like everybody in the United States, I think, that follows Olympic hockey. We're all really hoping for a USA Canada gold medal game, which will be Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
I will be psyched for that.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
bacon, eggs, and hockey.
I haven't been able to watch any of it like you guys, but I will be psyched for that one.
Yeah, it's let's hope that
Sunday
we get there.
Fun day.
Let's hope that we get there.
Definitely. And I guess what, Sweden, Finland, US, and Canada were the four teams that had NHL players. Their entire roster was made up of NHL
guys. I believe
that
is correct. Yeah.
So, hopefully Slovakia takes it easy on us and we can get past them a little bit tomorrow. But that shows that Sweden was a tough matchup for us.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And, you know, you get to that point in the Olympics, every game should be relatively difficult. And that proved to be that. But we are in a situation now that we all hoped we would be. When this tournament began, the same cannot be said for the American men's curling team, who were sitting really pretty going in the last 2 days of pool play, at which time the skip just played. And I'm not trying to pile on. He's a young guy. It's his first Olympics. This is his team's first Olympics. It reminded me of when John Schuster was a rookie in the Olympics and really struggled late in games and really cost his team a chance at a medal in Salt Lake in 2002. And then we all know what happens. You know, his team makes 3-4 Olympics in a row and they end up winning the gold Hopefully that happens with the Americans. they did not advance. The women's curling team advanced this afternoon in a very exciting game that went down to the last stone. They move on to the semifinals with an opportunity to be the first all-women's American team to ever win an Olympic curling medal. Michaela Schifrin got off the schneid and won the slalom, which I was very excited to see. What other Olympic results have been in the last few? I mean, I've been so overloaded on the Olympics. Like, I can't get enough of it to the point where Sunday night I'll go into a mini little depression that they're over.
I think it's a little unfair. I think they're just, like, creating sports for the Norwegians. Like, the Norwegians are, like, just add this in. They're just dominating every sport, and it's...
I saw last night...
The mountaineering? Is that what they're doing now? Is that what this is? Ski mountaineering or something?
It very well might be, yes. It's, like, cross-country skiing and mountain climbing
together or something. I don't know, man. It looks like they're going up a mountain right now, so... Yeah, I don't know, but Norwegians are kicking everybody's ass. I have enjoyed watching the Dutch women crush it in the short track speed skating.
Yeah,
they are incredible. Like, nobody even holds a candle to these girls.
Yeah, women. Short track speed skating is awesome. I like the pursuit. Mm-hmm. Where they have three guys that are like holding hands, essentially. That was really fun. The United States got a silver medal in that. That was exciting. But no, these Olympics have been great. They always are. And hopefully these next few days with the hockey tournament and I think the figure skating probably finishes up here in the next couple days. And then Olympics are over on Sunday evening, so...
I think we do need a men's monobob. How come that's just the women's only?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that just seems unfair. We need a men's monobob.
A monobob.
But that was cool.
It was.
The United States mm-hmm. Competitor in that one won the gold medal. That was awesome.
Yep.
One of the most decorated women's bobsledders of all time, but had never won a gold medal.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but she had won, like, silver and bronze and other events and things like that.
She was on the two-man and four-man
I would assume so. But that was cool. You know, and like I said, I just get sucked in no matter what I'm watching. If it's the Olympics, I'm getting sucked in.
Yeah, I think you're like, I mean, all three of us, we could just watch competition of any sort on television and get wrapped up in it.
Yeah, and when the stakes are that high.
Exactly. You know, when these people dedicated their entire lives for this moment. You know what I mean?
That's like, the thing. And, you know, I get it that there's a World Cup alpine skiing tour and a figure skating tour and a curling tour for that matter and a speed skating. But for the public consciousness, especially in the United States, you get one shot every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And if you blow it, you become like the story, like the American male figure skater.
The quad god
that struggled so bad.
That's what they call me at the gym.
The quad god.
You roll a little Bengay on your calves. Icy hot roll on.
But he becomes like the kind of the poster child for the big favorite that struggles, and that's the last we're going to hear of him for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, but in 4 years, provided that he comes back, that will be the big story, the big redemption arc.
Absolutely.
And it takes 4 years.
Yeah.
I remember, Tuna, you're probably too young for this. Freddie probably remembers. The American speed skater Dan Jansen.
Yes.
And his sister was sick with cancer.
Was that the same name as the decathlon guy?
Well, his name was Dan, but it wasn't Dan Jansen.
So it was Dan versus Dave. Was it Dave Jensen?
One of them,
because I think Jensen or Jansen was one of their names.
Maybe Jensen. This is Dan Jansen.
Okay.
And he was this. I believe it was. It was either 88 and 92 or 92 and 96. But his sister was sick with cancer, and he was a big favorite. And, like, they built this whole thing up, the drama of human sport. He's going to win for his sister. And he fell in both races he was in. And, like, mortifying, cover of Newsweek, Sports Illustrated type stuff. 4 years later, the entire Winter Games, as I remember, were, like, around Dan Jansen's redemption story. His sister had since passed on, and he won two gold medals or whatever. And it was, but it was a 4 year redemption arc, you know, and that's what you get with the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. I hate to see it come to a close, but have very much enjoyed watching it up to this point. Now, Fred, You were talking about these college basketball upsets that we've seen the last few days. Why don't we get into a little bit of that?
Oh, my gosh, killing my spreads. no, I can't. I mean, dude, Tuna, you talked to me about it, too. Like, I mean, Missouri comes in and wins, upsets. Creighton comes in and upsets
UConn.
Yeah. UConn.
UConn's.
Then I'm trying to think. I didn't write them down, but I'm looking at them. Who was the. Who else last night? There were a couple other ones, like, that I'm trying to think of.
It was Missouri that beat Vandy.
Missouri beats Vandy. And Vandy, you know, I get that. Missouri's fighting to
Did you happen to see how that game ended?
No. And then did Michigan State lose?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michigan State loses. I did not see how the Vandy game ended.
Vandy was getting killed the whole game. It gets down to the very end. They shoot a meaningless three-pointer to cut the lead to one with like 1.2 seconds to go. Missouri is just trying to throw the ball up the court run the clock out.
Oh, right. Somebody grabs it.
The Vandy guy catches it at half court, shoots.
What was that?
We just had some sort of a noise behind the bar down here in the downstairs.
That was the ghost of Bobby Knight.
Anyway, the Vandy guy catches it and in one motion shoots. And, I mean, it was in the basket from half court and it spun out. And they lost by 1 point.
Oh, my God. Clemson got upset. Yeah. Another big upset.
You had Iowa beating Nebraska.
Iowa beating Nebraska.
Arizona State beating Texas
Arizona
Tech.
Arizona State, but
Toppin
got Toppin, hurt
JT Toppin, I guess,
out
it's a torn ACL now, right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's terrible for that.
I know UMass didn't upset. St. Louis got upset as well by Rhode Island.
Rhode Island got them.
That's why my bets went to hell. Fordham,
Wisconsin. Wisconsin got blown up by. They didn't just get barely beat. They kind of got blasted by Ohio State.
So many. Call it what you want. At UK didn't get upset because they suck, but to get beat by Georgia, in Rupp in a game that you gotta have, that was pathetic as well. But didn't Arizona get – they got beat the game before, right?
Yeah, well, they got beat – yeah, what was it? Texas Tech.
And they've got some injuries. Pete's out, I think. So, I mean, if you have some injuries, you know that you're bound to take an upset. I know Purdue lost as well. That's not an upset. Michigan just running through people. But they were at home. I thought they might – put up a little bit better fight there. BYU's lost a couple. We're getting into the right now where, you know, other teams seem to be surging more than the teams that have been winning.
Well, we're just in the part of the schedule that happens every year where it is really hard to win games on the road in your league.
Right, right.
But I don't care who you're playing.
Saturday, we've got a slate.
Oh my God!
It's like this is
back to back to back.
Yeah. I heard earlier today. This is only the second time
the top four teams
in the regular season are playing each other on the same day.
Yeah,
and that is awesome.
Yeah, I guess what 3 o'clock is the Arizona Houston game, and after that 6:30 Michigan and Duke. The Michigan and Duke game, I don't know, both these I'm excited about. I think Houston's going to kind of take Arizona at Houston. But, this is – it's loaded up Saturday. Yeah, even Tennessee at Vanderbilt's going to be fun. I know a lot of people don't care about this, but Miami-Virginia. Miami's actually been playing pretty good basketball. Jay Lucas kind of has those guys going right now. They're a little bit of a scary team. 21-5, 10-3 in the ACC and flying under the radar.
Former Hoosier Malik Renu
plays for
Miami. I saw him play the other night.
And he's playing pretty well, too. Yeah,
it sounded like it.
No, they've got some talent down in Miami. And, Jay Lucas, we all knew he was a hell of a recruiter. This is his first job actually being a head coach, and I guess it took him a little bit to get going. But, man, he's cooking right now. Miami,
let me ask you a question. Why are Michigan and Duke playing in Washington, D.C.? Is this like a special event thing?
A lot of teams are starting to do this where they schedule a non-con game in the middle of February at a neutral site. Like the Louisville-Baylor game that they did, that's why that stadium looked so empty.
That was
in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Right.
And then I guess they're going to play us in Nashville next year. So I think a lot of ACC teams are doing this, and they can find the opponent to play with them. Duke, everybody wants to play them. So I guess Dusty May was like, let's do it. Neutral court.
And then the Arizona-Houston game.
Mm-hmm. That's at Houston, I believe.
That is a home game for Houston.
Yeah.
So
that's a conference true home game.
Right.
So Houston is, I mean, what's the big guy that's just the damn enforcer for Houston? Houston is your typical Kelvin Sampson team, man. They are they get after you physically, and they can actually shoot the ball pretty damn well. But the Big 12 is just a damn fiasco, man. It's so loaded from top to bottom. It really is.
And we always talk about, we talked about it at length last year, that Kelvin Sampson's teams always just seem to be tougher than everybody else. And they always have one or two of those big, tough, enforcer, badass, mean on the court type of characters. And this year is no exception.
No.
Yeah, Kingston Flemings has been great. He's another freshman.
That guy that jumped so high.
We were talking
about
freshmen last week.
He looks like
Derrick
Rose.
We didn't even bring his name up. Yeah.
Right? It kind of reminds, I guess a couple people they say reminds them of Derrick Rose, but he looks like him. And the way he gets up so high when he shoots.
JoJo Tugler is who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
JoJo Tugler. Yeah.
And the kid from
number 11.
Who's the kid from Tennessee's playing a lot better too. Nate
Ament.
Tennessee's not doing that.
Nate Ament's kind of soft.
They're
kind of
off and on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the Rick Barnes special. But we mentioned it. Oh, also Saturday, UConn at Villanova.
At Villanova, and that's your team.
Well, I don't know if they're my team. I'm just saying, like, Kevin Willard's got it going on up there at Villanova right now.
State's at BYU late
night. What a day of college hoops, man.
That is a
loaded slate. Who needs Louisville and Kentucky?
Yeah, no kidding. Dude, I ain't had Louisville for years.
At noon, and this is a sneaky good game because Creighton just coming off that game we just talked about against UConn, they play at St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be a fun game. Two master coaches and a St. John's team that has been wildly up and down all season long.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing up there, I don't think. Like, they don't shoot the ball particularly well. you know, it's like Pitino. They're going to play defense, and they're going to make you earn every bucket. But they're not going to really – they're not going to put up a lot of points, and they're going to have to get lucky – not lucky, but they're going to have to get hot to make a push.
And defensively, they haven't been
your
typical, like, awesome Pitino defensive team. They've had some games where they've really struggled on the defensive end, so – I don't know, but this is fun. This is the best time of year for
March Madness, baby.
College basketball.
Freddie's birthday, we're 55, like coming up March 11th.
Yeah, we're like 3 weeks away.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
It's nuts.
The time's getting ready to change. The weather's getting warm.
2 weeks away from the time change.
2 weeks away from
but
time
I think it
change.
Is going to snow on Saturday.
No, it's not,
dude. It might.
Well, we
I've
may get
got, a- I've got my... Oil, my number eight oil already out. What are you talking about?
Number eight. Oh,
my
you're
eight suntan on my banana bow.
You just got butter. That's what you use. Just straight, like,
I got it ready
organic
for the,
butter.
For the spring sun.
Yeah. And we're supposed to, here in Louisville tonight, supposed to be getting real bad weather. I'm following on my phone just now, Bloomington, my hometown, just got hammered.
Yeah.
Especially the west side where I am from and where my parents live and my sister, hopefully I'll get in touch with them as soon as we're done here. Hopefully everybody in Bloomington's doing okay, but I understand they took a pretty nasty hit tonight. And, I think some of that may be headed this direction, here in a few hours.
Time to put Mark Weinberg on and settle in.
Oh, baby.
Trust me.
He's an Olympian in himself. Yeah.
He is a damn gem to this city. He's
he
a
is.
Treasure.
He is.
Yeah, I hope he never leaves.
And you, I mean, and we talk about him, laugh about him, but...
He looks like an Olympian.
But every...
He is yoked up.
Every city needs a guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's like... The guy. And when I was growing up, you know, we obviously Bloomington didn't have our, but we got the Indianapolis channels. And we had Bob McLean and for the younger people and Bob Gregory for the older people. And here in town, you had Jay Cardosi for
Jay's
years.
Still pretty money, but he's so energetic and happy all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I like my weatherman to freak out a bit.
You need Weinberg.
Yeah.
Shall we say flair for the dramatic?
Oh, he will lecture us,
so to speak.
We'll sit there and get lectured by him. You need to take this seriously, folks.
Yes,
I love that.
So we'll probably be getting some of that here tonight, which hopefully the weather is fine. Nobody really suffers from it, but we get to enjoy some extended Fox. What channel is Fox 41?
I kid you not. I kid you not. I really do straight up think that the time change Saturday should be a holiday, even though it's on the weekend. Like, it's the greatest thing in the world to me. I mean, if I need to go to Frankfurt when they ever do that vote, if they already did the vote, to have the time where it should be.
Where it never changes?
Yes.
That's what...
When I lived in Indianapolis, it never changed.
And everybody goes, oh, I'm going to be tired and everything. And I'm like, no way. I get to... You know what I'm saying? You can get... Like, it's just such a great
Bloomington,
day.
My whole life, and when I lived in Bloomington, we were one of the only... It was us, our little area, and I believe it was Phoenix, Arizona, were the two areas that never changed. And... then I came here and I was like, what do you mean the time change? You know, and it's miserable when it changes the other way and it gets dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'm with you, Tuna. They should change it in 2 weeks and then just leave it.
Yeah. I mean, why does it change anyway?
It was,
I heard the school bus, like kids waiting outside for the school bus. So what do kids up north do?
No, I didn't have any. It was originally done for the farm industry. So you get an extra hour of daylight.
Yeah, but that's been gone for a long time.
But they never changed it back.
But I think, like, one of the excuses they've said was why they kept it was for, like kids walking to the school bus or stop or something like that. I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't. I've never heard that.
Well, look at it. If you live in Maine, you're in the dark anyway.
Well, they said that a lot of people also got the depression and things of that nature would sit in around the country in certain areas when you have that darkness at 6 o'clock.
Well, it depresses me when the sun goes down at 4:15.
Right. Yeah. I leave for work in the morning. It's dark. I get off work in the afternoon. It's dark.
What time y'all get up? Hell, I don't get up till 10:30. No,
I mean 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, I got you.
I'm saying is like I get to work and it's dark. I leave work and it's dark. I don't even see the sun for like 2 months.
Yeah, it's absolutely awful. But I can't wait till. Like, this is...
I think it's a conspiracy by our healthcare industry so we don't get vitamin D.
Maybe. But we're almost through it. We've almost made it through. And this year, it's been nice because we had the, at least for me, the college football playoff leading almost directly into the Olympics, leading almost directly into the high time of college basketball,
and
leading
the,
almost directly
World
into
Baseball
the,
Classic.
Yep. And then the UFL is going to lead right into that. And so
right into the World Cup
and right into
boom, Peru
Indy 500 season. So,
and then we are 100 as of today, 190 days away from college football season.
Oh my God.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah.
So we got all that with, I don't know. Did you guys want to talk any about Kentucky or U of L? We got into a little bit. Kentucky game the other night, I thought was pretty disappointing. The U of L game the other night,
I
thought was pretty disappointing.
Yeah,
no, I don't want to talk about
that. Let me say something about UK. Look, here's the deal. All right, Georgia has been ranked this year. They got to about 25, and then they flailed out, okay? They're about like Kentucky, okay? But Kentucky's at home at Rupp. You don't lose this game to Georgia. So the game goes down to the wire. We get down to 20 seconds, 23 seconds. Owe is playing great. He dribbles off his foot. Okay. It's hard for me to handle that, but shit happens. Okay. It went off his foot. There's nothing he can do about it. They come down. Shoot a three, and here's the part that disgusts me about Kentucky and Mark Pope. That Travis and I talk about this all the time in games when you get down to the wire. You're at home. Kentucky comes out with a play where they come out, they shoot a desk, they pass it around, they've got 18 seconds, they're down four. I don't care if they're down five or six. You don't shoot a damn three. You prolong the game, you take it to the hole, you get the foul, you let them throw the ball in, you foul them immediately, take them to the line, you do, and you continue to do that. You come back down the court, you go for two again. If you shoot a three and miss, the game is over because you're going to foul them. And you missed a chance to get points. What in the world are they doing in Lexington when... You shoot the three, you foul, they go to the free throw line, there's 12 seconds left, and you let Georgia dribble the ball, laughing at everyone in the stands, and you don't even try to foul and make it any sort of game. I've never been so hot in my life at the end of that game. In my life, that Pope didn't even, just no one even tried. They didn't give a shit about it. And that drives me freaking nuts. Georgia is a team that can't hit free throws good. They can't shoot threes good. And you didn't even take advantage of any of it at the end. You had a chance. And that is coaching at its best, 101. Your team should be prepared and know what to do. Let me tell you something. You watch Houston play or UConn, they know what to do. They know exactly what to do to prolong a game. And it's disgusts me that Pope cannot do that as a head coach. They gave it away just like they did the Missouri game. And quite frankly, they're out in the first round. First round of the tournament, I'm putting 100 on whoever they play. if they make it.
Yeah. Buddy, you guys may not even make it.
I don't think so.
I like your passion, but I feel like I wouldn't offer you some advice. And it might be a little bit easier on the old ticker. Just realize right now that you're not going to do anything. I realize that Louisville's not going to do anything. And we get in the tournament. We might win a game. Maybe two, but it's highly doubtful. Might be out in the first round. Kentucky's probably the same way. This is what I'm telling you what's going to happen. Louisville's probably going to get a 7 seed. They're going to put Kentucky at the 10 seed.
Yeah.
We're going to have biggest game of the year. We're going to play each other. And then and then whoever wins is going to get smacked in the next game.
Right.
So,
or we'll be an 8 and a 9.
It's a possibility. I don't see you guys getting up to the 9.
No.
But
no.
It could be a 6 and 11.
Someone saying we're Kentucky be a 6. My ass is 6.
Now, your boyfriend Lenardi had him on there as a 6, I think, like 2 weeks ago, but that's when they were on their heater. That's ended. So who knows, man? I don't know. I can't even get mad at college basketball anymore.
Can we talk about
I just enjoy watching the other teams play.
While we're on our soap.
We're getting there.
Soapbox.
We're getting there. Okay. That's what from a micro standpoint of the local teams to a more macro, a broader look at college basketball in general, we have been, I don't know if you want to say, blessed with some coaches that have expressed perhaps their displeasure with the way things are going in college basketball. We had one get fired after he came into his press conference and said that his players didn't deserve to wear the uniform. We have Mick Cronin, who is maybe the most miserable person in the United States.
I'm going to defend. Go ahead, but I feel like I need to
defend. Well, hell, I'll defend every one of them.
So, yeah.
Mick Cronin just hates his life that he's in the Big Ten. He hates
right.
it.
How about Andy Kennedy coming right on there and doing the same thing?
Let's stick to Mick Cronin for
okay,
now.
Stick to Mick Cronin.
Yeah, I mean, he is miserable. He's miserable that he took the UCLA job, and then the year after he's at UCLA, or 2 years after he's at UCLA, they leave and go to the Big Ten. He didn't sign up for that. It's too much money for another school to hire him and buy him out of it. So he's going to have to get fired. But I think right now all his antics are saying, hey, we're on the bubble right now. We need eyeballs watching us from the committee. I'm going to raise as much hell as possible and try to get people to, like, at least care about UCLA basketball a little bit.
Man, I think you're giving him way too much
credit. I really do, man.
Cronin is
he's
just
been
a,
around a long
he's
just time.
He's a maniac on the court, in practice. Uh-huh. He's a total maniac.
I think
practice.
He can coach ball, dude.
No,
yeah.
There's no doubt he's a very good basketball coach, but man, that kind of act wears very thin when you're not winning. And when you do it all the time, like he has this season, and I did kind of enjoy Brad Underwood's poke at the he's like, well, we got to travel too, and we fly charter, and we stay in nice hotels, and we get good food. And
I think the travel's one thing. I think the style of play in the Big Ten is what he didn't sign up for.
I used to really, I shouldn't say a lot. I used to really admire Cronin to a certain extent, but his act to me has worn extremely thin.
Yeah,
because there's only so many times you can bitch about being in the Big Ten. I mean, look, dude. You're getting paid like $9 million frickin' dollars. Mm-hmm. Suck it up and coach your basketball
team. Come on
team.
Down to
for
the South,
for 12 people
big boy.
To come to your games.
But back on the Tang.
I mean, I'm sure he'd like to be back at Murray State.
But back on the Tang.
I think he's going to end up at UC. I think he's going to go back to UC.
I hope so. I think that'd be perfect.
He never should have left.
Yeah.
He was the perfect coach for UC.
I agree. Freddie's dying to talk about
his
buddy Tang.
And you know, I hate Tang. Hate him.
Well, you
always have. I've hated Kansas State. But bottom line is, they're going to fire him for cause or try to fire him for cause. Because he called out.
They did, but it's going to go end up in court.
Because he called out some NIL professionals that are on a college roster. Give me a freaking break. You can say what you want to say as a coach. Andy Kennedy got on there right after that, and you heard what he said. He's like, Jesus Christ, that we're 9 out of 22 on layups, and I can't call one of my prima donnas out that make more money than everybody on the team and tell them that they can't make a layup? I mean, here's the deal. We talked about this 2 years ago when I said, okay, everyone can get paid. They can get money like everyone thinks they should. It's getting out of control. Coaches are getting sick of it. They're getting tired of it. I can tell you there's going to be a Woody Hayes moment out there. There's going to be a Woody Hayes moment out there. Darren Peterson, this jackass, is telling his coach he scores 20 in the first half and tells him that he ain't going to play the rest of the game. Literally, and then you're like, well, there has to be more to it. He had cramps or diarrhea or whatever. No. The interview with Bill Self, a Hall of Fame coach, sits there and answers a question and goes, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to do about it. It is a bad situation. It's very awkward. I don't know what to do. And it's going to get worse until somebody comes in here and straightens this shit out. Football's even worse, but you just don't hear about it. You're hearing about it in basketball. And I'm just telling you, man, something's got to change. I don't know how you're going to change it. I don't know how you're going to regulate it. But
I don't think I this. Mean, hold on.
Like we're gonna. I mean, coaches have already quit.
Let's talk because you covered a whole lot there that we need to like kind of dissect.
Okay.
I mean, you went from NIL to coaches being mad to all this stuff. So first, let's talk about. So the NIL is a problem with kids not playing and holding out for the pros. Is that what you saying?
Or whatever their daddy tells them, okay. Or whatever their agent tells them.
Well, that was happening before NIL. You remember Shaedon Sharpe at UK?
He was hurt.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
He was as hurt as Darren Peterson.
But I've never
hurt.
Seen a player play a half and then go out of the game.
Well, there's a lot of players that get on there and they don't even play.
Dude, this guy hasn't played 11 times.
I know, and that's a situation. And Bill Self shouldn't even play him. If he cares that much about it, then you don't.
Okay.
I know he's getting pressured.
I agree.
He's getting pressured by the people that give him money to bring these in. But at some point, you have to have the discussion with your donors and say, look.
That's
you know,
where it should really come in is you go, okay, you don't have to play, but you're being paid to play here.
Yeah.
And so you're not being paid to sit on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it needs to. And you would think somebody with the cachet of Bill Self,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got more pull or should
but the look
than,
on,
than,
but
than
the
his
look,
players.
He's having
like
issues.
He's losing his, I mean, he's already sick.
If
correct?
He's had some health issues with his heart.
Yeah, he's having worse now.
But if you care this much about it and you're Bill Self and it's driving you this mad, then like, you should be able to tell your donors that this is the worst thing for your program.
I totally agree.
And if they don't buy into that, then maybe Kansas isn't the place for you to coach. You go somewhere.
Well, maybe Kansas isn't the place for him to play. Kick him off the team.
That's what I'm saying.
Let
him
go
to
the G League.
Don't play him. Then he'll be right back in college in a year.
But, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, it's – I mean, really, it's these kids have what's – so-called agents, which aren't even really agents. Some of them are family members. Some of them
right.
are their fathers,
oh,
whatever.
I know.
And they get in these kids' head and they tell him, well, that was such a rumor about his
maybe,
dad telling him.
Maybe.
He like but literally fell on
now.
His back three times in
he's
that Memphis
playing,
game.
Well, maybe they tell him
and
he
was out with back
more spasms. Time off than they're
make sure you're
you.
Fully healed. Don't
right.
play through
right.
it hurt.
And I understand
like
that.
Rick Pitino would force you to get out there with a – like
right.
Tyquan Dean played an entire
right.
season with a sports hernia.
Right. Well, Caleb you know, Wilson's getting ready to play with a broken hand.
Exactly. So it's all about like – and these coaches have to – part of it is like when you're recruiting these kids – I get it. They're extreme talents. You got to, like, really get a feel for who they are as
what
people.
What about Quaintance from Kentucky?
And I'm telling you, Bill Self is putting him in this situation again next year with those two kids he has coming in next year.
You're right.
Tyron Stokes
right.
has already been kicked off his high school team.
Yeah.
Taylen Kenny's got issues. So it's I mean, there's a reason that people stopped recruiting these guys. And Self and whatever this booster is in Kansas, they keep going after them.
Right.
And I don't know if it's Adidas funneling these kids to Kansas or
I
what,
don't know.
But. They need, like, Bill Self, obviously he can't tell Adidas to screw up.
I think he tried to keep it chill, and then finally it hits the national news, and everybody's talking about it during the day or whatever. And then he gets asked in the presser, and it's bothering him so much, he has to just say, yes, it is a problem, and it's driving me freaking batty, and I don't know what to do about it. That is the most awkward presser I've heard in a long time. And when Jerome Tang says what he says, it just... This is uncharted waters.
Let me ask you, do you think that Bill Self's bringing a lot of this on himself by just...
And you're right, he probably is.
By tuck and tell. Like, could you picture Kelvin Sampson or Rick Pitino or Bobby Hurley?
No.
Or, I mean, Danny Hurley or any of these guys doing this?
No.
No, I don't either.
Not at all.
So, like, at some point, you're a coach, you're a leader of men, young men, you have to lead those young men.
Right.
And you're not going to put a guy in that's not giving 100%. And give him any playing time.
And you're right. That's what your the coach at Tennessee football, look what he did.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, no, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, I see what you're saying.
So I'm sick of these coaches whining for making $9, $10 million. Step up and do your job.
But what I'm getting at is it's uncharted that they are whining in public, in pressers and stuff. This stuff used to never happen, and now it's just – it's going to get worse and worse.
They
maybe
have to earn
more,
that big salary they're getting now.
It's
I mean, it's part of it.
Comical too.
If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. If you want to coach at a small school, go coach. If you just love coaching basketball, get out of the big time.
Right.
You
know, I think they will be.
Well, I'm fine
with
it.
He may be one of the first.
That way, we don't have
done.
To hear him whining anymore.
He's already been to the hospital twice.
Yeah. He'd probably use that as an excuse, like. Remember that year Kay knew his team was going to suck and suddenly had a back issue so bad he couldn't get off the bench and they had to take a leave of absence while they lost like 12 games in a row. And then the next year he had number one recruiting class and he was magically healed.
That's one thing I will never forget is like Coach Kay, one of the best coaches to ever do it. Probably the most dramatic human being besides LeBron James I've ever seen. Like, I mean, honestly.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, it's a new world. We're all just getting used to the way things are working. And some of these older coaches, hey, look, you got two choices. You either adapt and play the game the way that the rules are right now, or like Tuna said, you tuck tail and get the hell out and go somewhere where you don't have to deal with that shit.
That's it.
And, you know,
I don't have any sympathy for a guy making $8, $9, $10 million a year to coach a game. I really don't.
Well, that's what I just said about Cronin.
I was explaining why he was doing it.
Oh, okay. I don't have any sympathy for any of those guys, but
he's catching a lot of heat for doing something that Coach K did too. Ripping a student reporter.
Oh, don't get me started on the way that
was childish.
Whole
man.
Thing
it was
went
childish.
Down. It's
Coach
so,
K did that exact same thing.
Yeah, well, a lot of those guys have done that, and I got a big problem with all that stuff. But
Pat
anyway,
Kelsey's ripped reporters here, and I don't like it. So.
And I mean, it's one thing because sometimes, and I get after a tough game and stuff. Sometimes the questions can be a little bit monotonous and the same thing, and you know, talk about that. But this dude asked a legitimate question about you know, after you kicked your own player out of the game, do you think that the Michigan State student section had anything to do with how you guys play? That's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
And then that's the dumbest question anybody's ever. I guarantee you this. That was not the dumbest question he got that night.
No.
It wasn't even close to the dumbest question he got.
Are you raising your voice at me?
Oh, and then that whole thing.
Yeah, he handled it poorly.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And from what I understand, Cronin is a totally different person, which a lot of these guys are, off the court.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all these things added up.
I know Freddie loves his brother.
And he's under, clearly, a lot of pressure right now. And this particular season, he has not handled it very well.
Yeah, well, they're not going to fire him. I think he wants to get fired out there.
Well,
he may have heard that Jerome Tang got fired for cause
and
for that little press conference. Like, well, you know what, guys? Hold my beer.
Yeah, because I don't think Wes Miller's going to last at UC.
No, he's gone this year.
And so
I'm surprised he hasn't gone yet.
He could slide right back in there in a place where they love him. Mm-hmm. His mentality fits.
Yep.
The way that he plays fits.
Mm-hmm. Was an assistant under Huggy.
Yep.
You know?
Like, all that fits. And some guys are just fits for different places. And I know Cronin, I mean, he took UCLA to Final Four, but the landscape has changed dramatically on a multitude of fronts. And for his sake, he probably needs to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, him being in California is just not a good match.
No, it doesn't seem right,
no,
does it?
It's not.
But, so, you know, that's all going to be – and but it is interesting that with all this drama and noise and this tornado of things that are going around outside of the games – this has been one of the most enjoyable college basketball seasons.
It really has.
I couldn't agree more.
That's the whole funny thing about it.
Of any recent year.
Yeah, and football just the same.
So,
like, if you ignore the off-the-court stuff and just watch the games, then, like, if this was 20 years ago where our only news came from the newspapers and we would just watch games and get all our opinions off of games themselves, we'd be like, this is the college basketball is the best it's ever been.
You know, it used to be Prop 48. Yeah. No big deal. But you know what's funny is these things popping up at the last second are what makes it even crazier. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what – you may have a player that goes, I'm not – starting this game until I get paid.
Yeah.
Or, you know that, you know what I'm saying? You never know what's going
to
happen.
I'm going to say one benefit to NIL that we don't talk about is that it's kept a lot of guys in college. So we're seeing a lot of really good upperclassmen play now where guys may have left to try to go pro or go overseas to make money because, you know, maybe they didn't come from much money and that was the way to make money to pay for, you know, their families and stuff.
Right.
Now they can stay in college and continue to, I mean, like, what are some of these guys that are great college players that will never make it in the pros?
For
you know what I mean?
Well, then that was always my argument about in the era of the people only staying for a year or two was that the quality of play had come down so far because in my era of growing up watching college basketball, almost everybody stayed 4 years and were on the same team 4 years. And so by the fourth year, they've learned how to play. They've learned how to play together. They've learned the system, what the coach expects, how, you know, and all these things. And so by proxy, the level of play had raised so high. Now, there was more individual talent when the one and done era and that stuff. But as far as the actual play on the field, I think we saw it. And if I had the bell down here, I'd ding it with a team like Indiana in football, where you had a bunch of dudes that had played together for 3 and 4 years that were outclassing these 5-star recruits that were freshmen and sophomores.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing in college basketball. Although this year, the freshmen are so good that
I mean, this is like just an unheard of class. So it's, but like, how many guys do we see like jump to the pros after their freshman year or sophomore year that didn't even get drafted, and then they were just SOL after that? You know what I'm saying? Now, guys are like, all right, well, that they can even go test the draft waters, go through the process,
and decide to come back.
And you know what? It's not for me. I'm going to come back. You know. I like that. I think it's a much better system.
I do too. And it's made for better teams. And I think as they get this thing tweaked and figured out and, you know, try to regulate it a little bit, I think the actual quality of play in college basketball
and
will
football.
Only improve. Yeah, yeah, both will only improve.
Yeah, I mean, we focus so much on the negatives of it, and there's some positives. So
yeah, that those are big ones. That the actual games are better.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the quality of the games are better. So settle
down, Tuna.
It'd be nice to get some of these guys
don't
to stay
let
at the
hair
same
fall
school.
Out over it.
Yeah. It's too late for that. if we could get these guys to stay at, like, some of these contracts they sign, I know it didn't work for Duke and Darian Mensah where he signed a 2-year contract,
yeah,
but like,
yeah,
if there was a way that you could, like, I think what's going to end up happening, I think it's inevitable, is that they're going to become employees. You know,
yeah,
there's going to be a collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
They're going to become employees, and then you can regulate it. And that's just, it's going to happen, whether it's a year or 5 years from now, that's going to be the end game, I believe.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah.
So,
does anybody have anything? We're fairly short because we didn't have a lot of actual games.
And the All-Star weekend was nothing. I mean, the All-Star game was fun. I mean,
hey,
I thought it was cool.
I was actually going to talk about that at the end of the program.
Okay.
But I'll go ahead and say
it now.
And I've
got some horse stuff.
We have plenty of time for last
I
call.
I thought the thing was pretty cool.
This was by far, and now I was still more engaged with the Olympics.
Sure.
But this was by far the most enjoyable All-Star
games. Yes.
Which there were multiple games. I didn't even know they were doing it
that
way.
I didn't know they were doing it that way
either. Until I watched
it. I just thought it was one big game.
And so it was really,
did
I thought it was cool.
Did you know what happened?
I kind of heard about it. I didn't watch any of it,
right,
but I heard about it.
Guys were trying. Mm-hmm. There was defense
playing. They were
playing
hard. Kawhi Leonard looked like the second coming of Michael Jordan out there.
Guys were pissed when they lost at the end.
Yeah,
like,
Wembanyama was mad. And, of course, they were all kind of coming for him.
And I think if they keep kind of with that mentality and maybe make a couple of tweaks to the way that the game was, I think that without the Olympics causing some bleed off, I think it has a chance to become interesting to casual fans
anytime
again.
Anytime you have the world going against the younger players going against the old dogs, you know there's going to be some shit stirred up.
And it was cool. I thought it was cool. I'll give the NBA a lot of credit because they knew, like we talked about on the podcast last week, they knew
something
what they were doing was a failing proposition. And so they made moves to drastic moves to make it better and improve it. And I think they did.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, we've got tons of time. So take your time, talk about whatever you want to here at the end. I'm going to go ahead and call last call and we'll start with Tuna.
All right. I'm going to touch a little bit on baseball. We've got, which next week, I guess we'll get into the World Baseball Classic rosters throughout, but that's starting here in like the first week in March. It's loaded up pretty good. The Phillies have signed a new player. Have you heard about this?
Castellanos?
No. 11-year-old David Basabe from Venezuela.
Okay.
Did you miss the part where I said 11-year-old?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you sent me a text on that.
I don't think I did. But anyway, yeah, 11 years old out of Venezuela. So he is a Philadelphia Philly for $1.8 million. So good for him.
That's incredible.
What?
Basically, they bought the rights to him. So when he gets old enough, he's a Philly.
But you know, the chances of him ever, I guess it's like $1 million, who cares, or whatever.
$1.8
million. I mean, it's $2 million, so that's some money.
He's the richest person in Venezuela right now.
But why, like, the chances of him ever being good enough to even make the pros is probably still 5%.
Well, the Phillies seen something they liked.
God. See, that to me is 20 times dumber than anything we talked about relative to college athletics.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going on. And then also on a local note, Louisville Cardinal baseball. Big weekend this weekend. They're playing in some sort of a classic, Allegiant something classic. They got Nebraska Friday, Michigan Saturday, and a big matchup against Auburn on Sunday. Unfortunately, this classic is being played on something called Flow Sports. It's the only place to watch it. I don't know what Flow Sports is. I guess I'm going to find out.
Is that the CW?
Tomorrow. No, I wish it was the CW. I can watch it on that. But
there was something else on Flow Sports. I think Colin might have told me how to get it one time or something. We'll have to check on that.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a fun weekend for Cardinal baseball, who had a bit of a letdown against Michigan State in an opening series.
Yeah, I mean, no,
yeah, it's early on.
First weekend of the year.
Definitely. Yeah. I care. Still, watching that bullpen come out and blow games like they did last year. So, it's a little frustrating. But anyway, that's what I got.
All right, Fred, I know you've got a lot. We got some horse racing to get to and a couple
Tuna,
other things.
Your horse may go down as one of the top five all time, forever young, wins the Dubai Cup, or wins the cup again, the $25 million back-to-back, never happened before. His total earnings are something unbelievable. I can't even remember what it was, but him and Nisos battle. They go through the just like everybody said it was going to be. It was going to be forever young and Nisos. It was. Did you watch the race?
I did not. I have, believe it or not, I have watched some. I've been a big Forever Young fan.
And you like his trainer, Yoshita Shoga. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes. So that was cool that went on. The Risen Star went off with a bang. Paladin is now, has now won three in a row over Chip Honcho and Golden Tempo. That was my choice. I was staying away from the chalk. So, so that was a great Derby prep.
Was there a horse named Courting that ran in that?
Yes, that's
and
how'd
he finish?
The $5 million or the $3 million horse that Pletcher owns.
Okay,
it was the first time he'd ever done two turns.
Okay,
and he finished fourth. So you have the Saudi Derby coming up, but this weekend you have the John Battaglia at Turfway. That's the only race this weekend. But next weekend you have three major preps. I think the Gotham and the Rebel and big races. Also, the Robert B. Lewis, I don't think we ever went through and said who won that one. That was Plutarch. But anyways, against a great field, Intrepido was second. I want to go through the book has now come out, and I want to give my top 10, Derby prep horses. I'm just going to name their name and that's it.
All right.
Okay. Paladin is my number one, the Chad Brown horse. It is 3-0
Paladin.
And three starts, Paladin. That is correction, Paladin. That is right.
You know, it's one of my favorite things when Freddie talks horses is us correcting his pronunciation, his absolute butchering of the name.
Well, here comes the second one, Plutarch.
I'd have to see
that.
That ends in a CH, so Plutarch.
That I can't help you with.
Plutarch is another horse that has ran a lot. He's 2 firsts, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. Out of 6 races. Silent Tactic. I think this is one of Tuna's horses.
Yeah, you know, he won 2 weeks
who
ago.
Who upset Strategic Risk, who is my next horse. Strategic Risk is up there. Nearly is up there. Renegade Pavlovian is a Doug O'Neill horse from California that's doing well. Chip Poncho just hangs out in there. And we'll end with Express Kid and Intrepido. But I do want to say, coming up, we have a crop of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 freshmen. If you want to look at it that way, these horses are freshmen horses. They have not ran 2 turns yet. Some haven't even ran but 1 maiden race. My top 10 is based on what you've done in Derby preps. These are the young guns that are coming in, and I'm going to name them just so you know what their names are. Commandment, Napoleon Solo, Further Ado, Canaletto, Brandt, Blackout Time, Iron Honor, Chief Wallaby, could be a tuna horse, and Boyd. These horses are like some of them $5 million yearling. Some of them's a $2 million yearning. These are the horses. You know the new trend now, Tuna. You don't race a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for God's sake.
They're on load management.
Some of these horses, like, yeah. Like, put it this way. Mystic Dan did run a lot of races and won the Derby. But lately, a lot of these horses have ran like 2 or 3 times. And then, bam, they're in the Derby and they're gone. So anyways, keep an eye on those horses. I can't wait to see them run. They will all be coming up in the Fountain of Youth, the Louisiana Derby. They're all waiting for the big, big runs right there. So I got that. I also wanted to say, RIP Robert Duvall, one of my favorite actors. Tuna, I know you like Bob Duvall, Tender Mercies.
Absolutely.
I mean, good Lord.
Lonesome Dove.
So good. Such a great actor. Mm-hmm. Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, Rooster.
Cogburn.
What's that movie I'm thinking of?
True Grit.
Just so many great
movies. The Godfather, of course.
Yeah. Just what a great actor. Another top 10 legend. And it seemed like when he turned 75, he even got better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It seems like a lot of the greats, when they get older, they just get better. RIP to him. RIP to Doug Moe. Doug Moe died today, or yesterday, or today, I think, Travis, and I know you know him. He was a North Carolina All-American in basketball. He played with Larry Brown, coached with Larry Brown, played in the ABA and got caught point shaving.
No.
Was banned.
Here's what happened.
Oh, okay.
He was suspected of point shaving while he was at North Carolina.
Oh!
And he was blackballed. He was kicked out of college, blackballed by the NBA, which forced him to go to the ABA, where he played his entire career. But he was later totally exonerated.
Right, and then went on to win 400 games in the NBA.
And then became a coach of
the Nuggets.
I always think of him as the Nuggets coach when they were run and gun with Alex English,
yes,
and all those guys.
Yes, a Fat Lever.
Yeah.
And he always, remember, he was always a crazy character. He'd wear like fish ties.
Yeah.
And stuff. He was like real zany. Him and Don Nelson were kind of some of the crazy coaches out there.
But he was a coach character when
right.
that still happened, like Frank Layden and
right, right,
and those but, kind and of guys.
ABA champion, he was an ABA All-Star. Was a good player as well. So that's super cool, and that's all I got, man.
I got two things real quick.
Yep.
I forgot about these. Real quick, back to the local baseball, UK baseball, the Batcats. They did steal 23 bases. They led the nation in stolen bases last year. They stole 23, Kentucky baseball.
Okay.
They stole 23 bases in that first series against UNC Greensboro, which is incredible. No.
How is that possible?
The first series.
They 23 bags, so that needs to be talked about. No, I mean, it's Mingione. That's what he does. He presses them. But, yeah, they Kentucky's got a pretty good little baseball team down there. And second – Mike Tyson is fighting again.
No.
Yep.
Oh no.
Him and Floyd Mayweather are fighting in the Congo on April 25th.
Is that the only place they could get to sanction
Rumble
this
in the
garbage?
Jungle Part 2.
Oh, please.
Yep.
Do not defile the Rumble in the Jungle.
It has been defiled.
Oh, my God.
April 25th, these two old guys are going to be fighting each other. I don't know if...
Is it on pay-per-view or is it on Netflix?
I have no idea. I would assume Netflix or CW or something like that.
I certainly will not pay
I'm not paying for it. No,
to watch this garbage.
If it's on Netflix?
If it's on Netflix and there's nothing else going on, I could be convinced to flip it on for a second, but Jesus. I mean,
it's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
Boxing has become an embarrassment. And I don't know if you guys know this, but now that Paramount Plus has bought UFC and all this and with Dana White, Dana White has started his own boxing league, like Zuba or something like that, boxing. They had their premier event a few weeks ago. Now, there's not any names that you're going to recognize, but the quality of boxing was pretty good. It was a good production. It was put on nice. It's not Showbox. It's not HBO boxing. It's nothing like that yet. But, you know, Dana White's a master at building up these combat sports. So hopefully he can kind of dedicate and get boxing kind of back up on the main stage.
Because I would say, as someone who who finds Dana White as a human being relatively despicable, but who finds Dana White as a promoter of combat sports to be maybe one of the greatest of all times, and someone who enjoys boxing and thinks that anything that could raise boxing up from where it is now at like 58th down the pecking order, I'm totally for that, and I will watch it and hope that it succeeds.
Yeah, there's no denying. Dana White's really good at what he does.
But there's no question about it.
I mean, it really
I think
is.
He's one of the best ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's cool. I have to see if I can. Is it on television?
Paramount Plus.
Okay.
So
I'll have to check that out. And I think we got to everything that I was going to talk about. Freddie got the RIPs out of the way. We got talking about the NBA All-Star Game. So we will not drag this out any further. We've had a relatively short show tonight. Relatively short for us. Still goes an hour and 15 minutes because that's just what we do. It was a great time tonight. A lot of good discussion. Want to thank everybody out there for listening and remind everybody, if you have a friend and you think they might enjoy the program, please let them know. They can find the Blockout Sports Pod wherever they find their favorite podcasts. For the big fella, the Tuna Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.